thy will. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 18 to begin with tonight. We've looked at words around the gospel, and we've looked at the thought of conviction. We've looked at the thought of repentance. We've looked at the thought of faith, and we've looked at the thought of regeneration or being born again. Tonight we go into a different word, and I believe you'll enjoy this study. And let me say something about this study. It's important that you understand the dynamics of salvation, if you please. It's important that you, as a Christian, unpack everything concerning your salvation and understanding where you are. I believe that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and you really know what it means to be saved, there's a different attitude in your heart. There's a joy and there's a confidence. I meet a lot of Christians. They say, I was saved one time, but I don't know if I am now. They don't know the dynamics of salvation. They say, you know, before I was saved, I was a wicked sinner, and God saved me, but I just don't know, and my past is just, and they never move on. There's a lot of different things that take place, and the hows and the whys and the whats and the what fors are important to know, especially about salvation. That's the basic. That's the basic. That's when you are born again, you get life. That's the beginning of everything. That's the most. That's when your mama had you and the doctor slapped you and you cried and took that first breath of air and just screamed like a baby. Amen. Now, when I was born, they slapped my mother. But anyhow, you all liked that, didn't you, huh? Amen. My wife, when I was a kid, my mom took me everywhere. They took me everywhere she went so she wouldn't have to kiss me goodbye. When I was a little baby, I was so old, ugly, my mom used to feed me with a slingshot. Amen. Anyhow, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
You know that you're saved? So I want you to think about this tonight, and we're going to read some scripture, and we're going to use these scripture references for the next couple weeks. I want you to think about this. I want you to understand this tonight. I'm going to give you, and homiletically speaking, which is a term of how you put together a message, I'm not homiletically sound tonight because I'm just giving you 2 points. You usually always have 3 points, but I just have 2 points, and that's all there is, and there isn't any more. So we're going to have to live with it, amen? And so you get the clearance sale here tonight, amen? But look at verse 9. Are you in Luke chapter 18? Say amen.
Amen.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Okay, you see that? He's talking to people that were spiritually self-righteous. In other words, I feel that I'm going to be the heaven. I get to heaven the way I want to. Mm. You understand? That's what it's saying.
Right.
It says, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, what a Pharisee was, he was well schooled in the law. He was a man that was religious, and they lorded over people. These Pharisees, if you read about the Pharisees in John chapter 1 through John chapter 8, they wanted to kill Jesus. They weren't good people. Right. For the most part, Pharisees didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And then it says a publican. Now this publican, the word publican is talking about a tax collector. Now they what Rome did was they would get a tax collector, not a Roman, but they would get a Jew. And he would collect taxes from his own people. Now, they would say, okay, this is their tax, but if you want any money, you're going to have to get more. So this publican was not well-liked. They were hated. Mm-hmm. Zacchaeus was a publican. Levi was a publican. And so, not Levi, anyhow, one of the apostles.
Yeah, Matthew.
Matthew? And they collect tithes or taxes, and more than 10%. Amen. And so let's get back on track here. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself: God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says this: I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, he uses the word justified. We're going to look at justification. Justification. Look at Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, or Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of glory of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, now look at this, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. Now, I want us to think about the word justified. I want to give you two thoughts tonight in this introductory message tonight. I want you to get this, because this is the basis for everything we'll say in the next two messages. First of all, number one, through believing, we receive the forgiveness of sins. Through believing, we receive the forgiveness of sins. Look at Acts chapter 13 with me. Acts chapter 13. Now, we've looked at that. We've looked at that for several days. We've looked at it for several days, haven't we? We've looked at conviction. We looked at the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the conviction that comes on the heart of the sinner to realize, I'm headed to hell without Christ, and he's the only way I can get there. Amen? Then we looked at repentance. Repentance has nothing to do with work. Repentance is a change of mind. That's when you realize, hey, I need to stop trusting this to get me to heaven, and I need to trust Jesus. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Then we look at faith. What is that faith? That is when you repent, when you change your mind, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's it. And then, when we think about regeneration or being born again, that's what happens at the moment we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we repent and change our minds, when we are under conviction and we say, Lord, save me, we are born again. Born again. And so when we are born again, we believe. We believe. That's the spark. That's the key that turns everything on. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38 says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, let's think about it. Let's think about it. When you believe and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. All right? And when you are forgiven, that means there is pardon or deliverance. You are pardoned. Okay? You're pardoned. Has anybody ever, you ever heard of somebody being pardoned? Now, they committed that crime, but they are pardoned. They are incarcerated in jail, but they are delivered. Are you with me? So that's the forgiveness. The forgiveness. The meaning there. Forgiveness means we do not die and go to hell. Forgiveness means we are forgiven and we have a place in heaven. Okay? Now, forgiveness is based on Jesus. It's not based on us. Did you get that? Y'all, shake your head. Did you get that? It's not based on us. There's nothing that we do. It's all Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You got that, guys? You got that, King? Okay, now look. I want you to understand that because I want to build on that. I want to build on that with you. The Bible says, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about salvation there. So through believing, we have the forgiveness of sins. We are pardoned. We are delivered. Okay? Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Now, number two, and we're already to point two, but it's going to be a little bit of a long point. It's probably about a 50-minute point, but I'm just kidding. Look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, the next verse. And by him all that believe, are you with me? Are what? Justified from, you want, if you have a pen, you ought to write that, you ought to circle the word all. Anytime you see all in your Bible, you ought to circle it. All. It's all inclusive. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it says there, Brother Frank, it says we are justified from all things. What's that talking about? Stay with me. From which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, what he's talking about, he brings the law in. And you'll see that in the Bible. It'll talk about law and grace. Okay? It'll talk about law and mercy. It'll talk about law and forgiveness. The law was given to us in the Old Testament. How many of you ever read the Ten Commandments? Right? Thou shalt not. Well, that's not the complete law. Because if you really study in the Bible, there's a lot more to the law than just the Ten Commandments. However, there it is. So God gave Moses the law. Y'all remember that? He came down and he broke the first version and he had to go up and get another one. And so he comes back down, he's got the law, and that law. Now, what was the law given to us for? The law was given to us to show us our sinfulness. Because you cannot live the law completely. You cannot keep the complete law forever. Why? Because we are sinners.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Amen.
We're sinners. The Bible says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of
all.
Man, that's tough, isn't it?
Right. Yep.
That's tough. So that puts us in a real predicament. What did the law? What was the law? To reveal sin. The law was given to us to be a schoolmaster. It was a rule that would press on us and stay on us. And then it was to point us to Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So what he says in Acts, he says, listen, when you believed Jesus, something happened to you that the law could not help you with. Are you with me? Are you with me? Stay with me now. Stay with me. I don't want to go ahead if you're not with me, because this is good.
Amen.
Now, notice. It says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law. He says, if you believe, you are justified. And that takes care of the things that the law could not take care of. Now, it's one thing to be forgiven, and that's the first part of being saved, but the second part, and just a wonderful thought here, and the biblical thought, is that we are justified. Now, what does it mean to be justified? The word justified means to be free. It means to be righteous. Now, hold that thought, and let me say this. Justification is more than forgiveness. Okay? Now, just recently, and I don't know if you all, how much history you all know, but there's a man named John Hinckley. Anybody know that name?
Yeah.
Okay, you kids will read about it if you read. John Hinckley shot President Reagan at a hotel in Washington, D.C. Okay? President Reagan lived, one of his men got shot in the head, and he was, it messed him up, but John Hinckley was sentenced to St. Elizabeth's. Does anybody know what St. Elizabeth's? Anybody know about St. Elizabeth's, kiddos? You kids know about that? Anybody? That's where people go that are messed up in their mind. Okay. So, we just got news that he's going to be released. The judge is going to release him when?
Next year.
So, John Hinckley has been in at St. Elizabeth's because he shot the president. Yes. I don't know what year it was. It was in the 80s, right?
1982.
82.
How old is he?
How old is he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Research it when you go home. But here's I want to make a point here. That's just one person, okay? We could talk about O.J. if we wanted to. O.J., you know, he if it does not fit, you must acquit. And he got off. Okay. Now let me just say this. John Hinckley shot President Reagan. There's no doubt he was guilty of it. Are you with me?
Right. Yeah.
Stay with me, guys.
Amen.
Stay with me, guys. King, stay with me. I want you to stay with me because I want you to get this point. So that judge has released him. And he's free. You could call it forgiven. But there will always be that stigma, that fact, that he shot the president. Are you with me? There will always be that. Okay? Now, forgiveness is one thing, but justification is different because what justification says, God says to you, are you with, now listen. Whatever you were before you were saved, whatever you were when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is gone. It's not just forgiven, but it's gone. As if it never happened.
Amen.
That's what that means. That's what that means. And so here, justification is more than forgiveness. It's being cleared of all blame and free from every charge as if it did not happen. Listen to this, and I'm not going to be long. I'm going to just be for a few more minutes. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You say, what is he talking about, preacher? When you are saved, young people, when you are saved, adults, you are declared righteous before God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now you might have been a rascal, but now you're righteous. Now you're righteous. In the Bible, you'll see lists. They say the murderers and thieves and whoremongers and this and that and the other. And people say, well, you know, preacher, that's scary. It shouldn't be scary to you as a Christian, because lost people are known by those names. A lost person is known by their sins, but a Christian is known as righteous. If you are saved, you are righteous before God. Let that sink in. That's an incredible thought to me.
Amen.
That's an incredible thought to me. Say, what do you mean, preacher? You were raised in a preacher's home. Listen, I was raised in a preacher's home. I was raised in a preacher's home. When before my dad was saved, I was a little kid. They used to call me Little Pat. And in the neighborhood I lived in, I used to throw rocks and bricks. I took a suction cup off the arrow and sharpened it. Shot one of my friends over top of his eye. So when I came down Brown Street, that's where I lived, Brown Street, they'd say, hi to the kids, here comes Little Pat. Okay? But when I got saved, my name became Pat Jr., just like Saul and Paul, you know? But all seriousness, my dad got saved when he was 21 years old, and I was just a baby, and life went on here and there, finally one day he decided that, or yielded to God to be a pastor, and so he went forward. Next thing I know, we were at Bible school, and I was just along for the ride, you know, preacher's kid, you know, you go to church and all that stuff. But let me tell you, young people, how many of you all are 16 years old? Anybody 16 here? Raise your hand. Okay, I was in a preacher's home, but it wasn't until I was 16 till I got saved. And if I'd have died before 16, I'd have been in hell. And you say, preacher, were you a murderer or drug addict or drug dealer or gangster before you saved? No, I was a preacher's kid, but I was wicked. And all that wickedness, all that rebelliousness that I had before that, the Bible says, his sins will I remember no more. They're buried in the deep sea.
Amen.
So when you got saved, you are declared righteous. He looks at every one of you and says, hey, he's righteous, she's righteous, he's righteous, because of Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this and I'm done. Justified, or justification, to the born-again believer means I'm declared righteous. How many of you heard the saying, it means just as if I'd never sinned? Anybody ever heard that saying? Well, let me take it a step farther. Here's what I believe. It's just as if I'd always been saved.
Wow.
Amen.
Right? You understand that? When you're born again, Archibald does.
Yep.
And when you say, when God saves you, everything's wiped clean. Do we deserve it? No. Does God do it? Yes. That's good stuff, isn't it, Arnold? That's good stuff. And there's a lot of people out there that are searching for the truth, and just the truth of knowing Jesus Christ and being justified. That is exciting. That's exciting. Are you justified? Now, the question is, not only are you justified, are you living like it? Because after you're saved, we still have to make the choice to do right or wrong.
Amen.
And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But let me just tell you something. Being saved is not an encouragement or a license to do whatever you want.
Amen. That's right.
Exactly.
God, you won't lose your salvation, but you ought to live like you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You say, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Hands all over. So I'm speaking to Christians. You say, preacher, I'm excited that I'm justified. I'm excited that I'm declared righteous, and I understand I don't deserve it. But I got to tell you something. I sure do need to live like it. And I need God's help. And there's some things in my life that I need to really, really get along with God about. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up, put it back down. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to stand. I want, if you raised your hand, I want you, once you get along with God, get down, get alone at this altar. Pray. If you need somebody to help you pray, you come. Let's stand. Father, bless the invitation. Work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do business with God as the piano plays. Justified, man. I'm going to tell you what. I'm righteous. I'm not perfect. Amen? Right? Now, I'm not talking about the world's term righteous. I'm talking about God's term. Some of you young men in the auditorium tonight, you need to make a decision that you're going to live that way. Young ladies, you need to make a decision that you're going to live that way. Y'all, some of you teenagers need to go through your phone and delete some things. Delete some friends, amen? Yeah, that, there you go. There you go. Hit dog hollers. Amen? Amen. The phone answer, if phone rings, answer it, amen? If the cell phone rings, answer it. Huh? Amen. 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 Listen. In this room is enough energy and ability for God to work through and change this area. Just being what we need to be. It's not a bunch of doing, it's not a bunch of saying, it's just saying, God, I give. Everything that all the trash that needs to be emptied out of my life, I'm doing that right now. And I'm clean. You won't eat out of a dirty dish or use a dirty fork or drink out of a dirty glass. Why should we expect God to use us if we're not clean before Him? Amen? Amen. Thank you much. I appreciate you listening tonight. We'll continue this thought. We'll continue this thought on next Wednesday, Lord willing. I want to remind you that we're going to start on Sunday. We're going to start an emphasis on one. Who's your one? And I'll have some things to give you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge everybody in the church. And teens, we'll probably have to get the things to you on Wednesday night. But we're going to challenge everybody to get involved and seeing people saved. There are people out there right now searching. People out there don't know which way's up. And we need to share our faith with them.
Amen.
And we're going to challenge you and continue in the church. Continue, not just for a month, but continue to emphasize this thing of one person at a time, witnessing, praying, asking God to help us to share Christ with them. Amen. Amen. Good to see you tonight. Let's close in prayer. Brother Mortley, pray for us, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this Tuesday, God. Thank you for the wonderful teaching of your word, God. And just help us, dear Father, through the fight of our lives, dear Father. Give us safe travel home, dear God. And help us to be safe throughout the week, dear Lord. And get us back next Sunday, Lord, to hear more preaching and teaching of you, dear Father. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.